Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to What Jail Is Like!
Ow! Bring a tail on top of me, homie. What up?
Oh, jeez. You know, if I could swear right now, I'd let one out with exhilarating passion unparalleled on this planet. Seriously, that's a swear right now. Can we just call it a swear?
Fwalawadu!
Eat that, FCC.
Two time.
Put it in a bowl, stir it up, and pour it in a pan and bake it. What's up, y'all?
What is up? What Jail Is Like Improvisational Comedy is very happy to have back one of our co-hosts who has been gone for a freaking long time, unfortunately, Mr. Matt Trupia.
Well, you know, it's good to be back, fellas.
Don't be a stranger, Troop.
You know, I had to go home, do the Christmas break thing, do the millennium thing, and now I'm back, and I have a bionic arm.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the gifts in the millennium.
Sweet. That's pretty cool. Sweet.
So it's pretty cool. You can break a lot of stuff really fast with it.
How did doing the millennium thing go for you?
It went well. You know, it was kind of unruly and reluctant at first. But, you know, I soothed it. I gave it a good meal. I sweet-talked it. Laid it down in my bed. And a couple hours later, it was purring like a kitten.
Cool.
So
that you had it under control. You were the one that made sure that there was no millennium chaos.
My wily charm, boyish good looks. And charismatic chiseled features.
That is freaking good to know. My name is Mark. With me are
Pete
and Matt.
Pete is standing in for Eric this week.
I'd like to point out right now that the mystery is solved. Me and Eric are actually the same person. That's why we're never on the show at the same time. So you get one a week.
Superman and Clark Kent.
We figure nobody will actually remember back, you know, but I think it's about 2 months since we've had both of you.
I was throwing my voice like a madman back then.
Oh, I know.
Hard work on the vocal cords.
Given that our target demographic is Alzheimer's patients, they probably won't go that far.
They're loving it, eating it up with a giant ladle.
Oh, my God. It's got to be a giant ladle. Not a sharp one, though, because they'll poke themselves in the eye.
That's right.
Schizophrenics, too, also a big fan of our show.
Mm-hmm.
So they're eating that right up, too.
And they think the radio is talking to them.
It is. Yeah, it is. Like, there's
talking
black box.
I've been away. I'm back. It's good to be back. I thought of you guys every Sunday, wondering what kind of stuff was going over the airwaves.
I have nothing to do with this show. They just let me in.
He's actually a strange vagrant wandering from town to town that we wrangled into the studio last moment.
And that's the difference that we give you. We give you the strange vagrants as opposed to the, you know, the cardboard cutout, standard issue vagrants.
The guy who's qualified to do the job.
Ford factory line vagrants.
I lost my job. Whatever.
I have syphilis. But it doesn't matter to us. What is that? You know?
I got four wooden legs, okay?
We're doing talk radio here. And nobody's more qualified than my man Pete, so...
Something I'm very excited about, actually, that's about to set in, is going to officially set in on Tuesday, is my status as an unemployed human being. I finished classes in December, all done with classes, got my 3 degrees going home, and I'm sticking around in Champaign until August, because that's the duration of my lease, and I have not gotten a job yet. Now, I could still be construed as, you know, sort of a lingering student, you know, there's been nothing... Nothing has happened to erase my student status until Tuesday, when university classes start up again, and I am officially an unemployed vagrant.
And it's not that the classes will be going on and you won't be attending; it's that you're not even enrolled.
Right,
that's the difference.
Mm-hmm. I am so freaking excited.
The last 5 or 4 years. So what are you gonna do? What are we gonna do with you, man?
He's gonna, like,
this job ain't paying
around.
Much.
I know.
Contrary to belief.
Yeah. Contrary to illusions. I mean, you know, it all, the money goes places. The money
this
flows.
This is actually an elaborate, like, secondary pledge drive for Mark Hyden's personal expenses.
Underhanded.
We got a lot of regimes we fund in
the
Omaha.
$5.6 billion you make yearly, you know, isn't going to for food and shelter.
No,
I don't,
it certainly
you know.
Isn't. So I want to, you know, for my own personal gain, I want to use this opportunity to solicit the airwaves for jobs where you need somebody who's kind of sullen and sits around and is not required to have any pants on if he so chooses. I'm totally willing to wear boxers, but I'd like to, you know, at least part-time with no pants on. If you're looking for somebody with those qualifications.
Seriously, also a job where the person doesn't have to receive any kind of orders and further come in contact with any other kind of human.
Or if you need somebody who... like, doesn't react very well to orders. You know, if you need somebody, you've got a position where you need somebody who will sulk when he is given an order.
A slightly hostile demeanor. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah.
The,
witty, but...
Oh, witty, yes.
Hostile. Yeah.
Yeah. I will make a cutting, you know, devastatingly pithy comment regarding your order to, you know, go do something. And I think that can really fulfill
constantly
a valuable
coming up
role.
With creative places with which wherewith you can stick that order.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and blow it out of.
Of, exactly.
And also, quite possibly not wearing any pants.
And a place that does have food that he can steal.
Right.
Yeah. Also a requirement. Right.
Yeah, I don't necessarily want free food. I want food where I can, you know, have the illusion that I'm stealing
food
it.
Food you're supposed to be paying full price
right.
for.
It's not free as much as available to
also,
the non-paying clientele.
Also a job that doesn't per se require him going to any place.
Right, right.
This whole going to a place, punching a card.
Big on sedentary activity.
Yeah, being on location and doing a job.
It's, yeah.
Somewhere that's pretty brown, I would like to go down that direction. Somewhere that's, you know, where the environment's just kind of, you know, brown, a nice, pleasant, funky brown.
Actually, if you are a painting crew that wants to come in, paint his apartment brown, and then pay him a check every 2 weeks, would be perfect.
Yeah. Mm, yes.
He'll watch you paint, too, if that's,
you know, but he is slightly hostile, so you have to.
Right, and it's entirely possible that I won't be wearing any pants. But I do look good in blue. I want you to know that. I do have 3 entirely useless degrees from the university.
Well, with a resume like that, mm-hmm. Simply burning up the job market.
Right.
Yeah. It can't be long before the calls start flooding in.
So calls go ahead and flood. Just know that I'm not going to work for at least, you know, a week or two because I want to enjoy being an unemployed vagrant. So I'm going to play hard to get for a while on this one.
And you're looking for kind of a raise like 16, 17
yeah.
million.
I will be looking for that. A raise the moment I get in into the job.
Well, I mean, you're qualified, you know.
But, yeah, I will be doing a phenomenal job.
Also, random but often compliments on your performance at the job.
Mm, yes. Very frequent. They should be creative.
Even made to the regular onlooker.
Like somebody
could just
walk into your place of work and be like, man, you're not even wearing any pants.
I know.
And still my service is excellent. No, yeah. Don't get up. I'll get it myself.
I need things I can throw at people.
Let me go get those for you. You're doing a fantastic job.
So things that have a good kind of trajectory, streamlined.
Right.
Potatoes.
And, potatoes are good. They make a nice thud.
Yeah, just about every single one of those things that we've said qualifies me to be a baseball player, aside from the bit about me actually having university degrees. So yeah. That's kind of...
And, you know, Sammy Sosa, a little known fact, actually did most of last season with no pants on.
Yes.
They just painted him in on the TV, though, like they do that that line in the football
right.
the first time. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. But the people that, are going to the games mm-hmm. are catching it.
They're catching it.
So baseball players. I read this story last week. I don't, you know, frequently read about sports, and I especially don't read about baseball. But I happened to catch this story. There's this pitcher on the Atlanta Braves named John Rocker, who apparently made a ton of racist comments in a story with Sports Illustrated. He referred to one of his teammates, who was both black and of Latin descent, as a fat monkey in an interview. And, did some other very offensive things and in this interview. And just find it kind of fascinating that, that kind of wealth that a baseball player is given, either, I don't know exactly what it does, but I'm wondering exactly how the baseball player thought they were going to take the fat monkey comment in the interview.
Well, I actually read the unauthorized biography of John Rocker. He's actually raised just entirely differently than most people. You know, he's raised in a household where calling somebody a fat monkey was kind of like me calling you a really good friend of mine.
Oh,
yeah.
So it's just a matter of semantics. You know, you call somebody a dirty Jew. Mm-hmm. Translation for John Rocker is a great business partner.
Okay.
With whom I confide in regularly.
That's yeah, you know, I've read about those cultures that are native to the South where, you know, skinny monkeys actually cause a lot of problems. You know, they're always always breaking things. But the fat
they're
monkeys...
They're smashing windows, they're destroying crops.
But the fat monkeys are really nice. They'll be a pillow, they'll, you know, like, hand you a banana if you want
it. So clearly, it's just a matter of miscommunication.
Oh, you know? Okay.
When Mr. Rocker explains that he hates everyone of every race other than white.
Mm-hmm.
What he's really saying is that I really enjoy New York for its melting pot qualities, and I enjoy the diversity of our culture.
Okay. I'm catching you there.
Yeah. See? So it's just kind of like a young urban people may use, whack.
Yeah.
You know, and we might not know what that means. Do I hit something? What's going on?
Hey,
but it means bad.
No,
or down south, maybe in the New Orleans area, they say bad to mean good.
So it's basically a situation.
To the jazz music.
Where we've got, you know, the wealthy upper class people who are handing down a culture to us that we need to accept rather than question.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's right. I mean, exactly. It's all about diversity.
He's simply speaking to us in his native tongue, and why judge a man for that?
Matt, you fat monkey, it's great to have you back.
Hey, you too, you dirty dude.
All right.
Did I just sit in here?
You did.
Hey.
But you know what I meant.
Yes. Oh, John Rocker had a smile on his face.
Yeah.
He knows what we're talking about.
Issue the Rocker glossary for all further press conferences, which will decode mm-hmm. all of the...
And since we are all three trained professionals in Rocker's native language, we are all qualified to sit beside him at these press conferences mm-hmm. and translate to the unassuming masses.
Yes, and it's, you know, quite a bit of training as it involves Morse code being tapped out on his buttocks.
Mm-hmm.
So takes That's a while. Takes a while to pick up.
Actually, Pete is designated in replenishing the chew in his mouth.
Mr. Yeah, I
Rocker's
do that.
Mouth.
And I'm designated in replenishing the chaw, which uh-huh. is on the other half of the mouth.
Yeah, which is another southern.
Yeah, if you don't know the difference.
I just hold the spittoon.
Yeah. And tap.
Very it takes good. All us fat monkeys out for dinner.
Yeah.
So the two of you were going back to class on Tuesday, is that correct?
Hell yeah.
To school.
Like Rodney Dangerfield, man.
Mm-hmm.
Heading back to school. Last semester, some have it easier than others.
Some do.
Some are going to die in the process.
Some will.
Some are going to make it out alive.
Some of us got a lot of school to do before we go graduate.
Some of us have to forfeit their entire social life in order to dedicate all their time, focus, and attention to their studies.
Those nasty classes that happen between 8 and midnight on Saturday.
Yeah.
They're scholars, you know.
And not me. I only have the easiest semester that a person with the aid of the dean could not design a better one than the schedule I have. I'm taking 3/4 of an hour. So that constitutes in me watching at least a minimum of 2 hours of cartoons per week.
Ooh, really?
And culminating by the end of the year, me writing a one-page essay typed.
Oh, it's going to be typed.
With 1-inch margins.
Probably can't use Courier New 14.
Forget
it.
No, 14.
Fascist bureaucrats.
To turn into my professor by the end of the semester.
This freaking university beats on its liberal arts students.
Well, you know, I mean, I understand that, but I'm going to be taking 72 hours, credit hours, which actually works out to about 73 hours of class per week, which is okay. I'm all right with that. except they're going to work my lack of sleep, because I'm not going to be able to sleep for about 3.5 months. But they're going to, like, wire me up for the whole time. So that's going to be that's going to count for 2 credit hours for experiments.
Hmm.
And then when I start hallucinating, I can do that for my French film class.
Cool.
So I've got to kind of integrate it. And then I've just got to work out all the biochem and the basket weaving.
Yeah, on your plan, though, aren't you getting 6 hours for sheer humiliation after you lose control of your motor skills and your bowel functions and stuff
like
that?
Yeah, that's an 8-week class, and that's going to come at the second half of the semester, in springtime when it's warm.
That sounds like a good deal to me.
Yeah. I'll be studying on the quad, basically, like, you know, it's wetting myself and things.
It's kind of weird how it actually falls under English 362 is losing control of your bowels. I don't know exactly how that works.
Well, that's also with the Joyce curriculum.
Started off as a Kinese class. But
yeah, major authors, James Joyce and losing control of your bowels.
You know, they had some time left over at the end of the semester, and they didn't know what to fill it up with. So,
mm-hmm.
Actually, I was thinking I was going to make a proposition to you, Mark. Maybe me and Pete could hire you out as like an academic gorilla.
Yeah.
And what? You could slice Thank our work you. In half.
Do I have to wear pants?
No pants involved.
Oh, my God.
See, what you do is you go on reconnaissance missions, get the assignments, take some notes, take some tests where necessary, give us the grades for a small stipend. This will also satisfy your unemployment problem.
Uh-huh. Well, I wouldn't call it a problem. It's actually
situation.
The problem is actually kind of satisfying at the moment, being entirely unemployed. I mean, I just, you know, I go down to the corner and, chat with Spar anything because I know what's up, you know.
You've
I know
been what there, it's man.
Like. Yeah,
been
I've been there.
You're hanging.
I've been there for at least the last 2 days, you know.
Speaking of Smarty Thing.
Smarty Thing's got stuff to do, Mark.
And, do you guys know David Blaine, the magician?
I do not know him.
No, I don't think I do.
He's this crazy street magician. He's been on, like, Conan. He's pretty famous. He does some crazy card tricks, and he does some Houdini-type tricks, too.
Mm-hmm.
Man is the devil. I was speaking about this with my roommates today. He's the craziest magician you've ever seen. Like, he do these, like, really scary card tricks that, like, freak anybody out. And
like when he sticks the card through your eye.
That's one of them.
That would kind of freak me out.
Pick a card and he goes, ah!
Then he does this other one where he, like, you know, pick a card and then he just throws the card up in the air and reaches into your rib cage and pulls out your beating heart.
Wow. And it turns the card that he throws up in the air is a heart.
Yeah. It's like, three of hearts. Get it? And then you just flop around.
And then you flop around and you're dead. Mm-hmm. He's actually in jail now for going on 84 years.
Wow.
Because he killed, you know, 16 people so far before he was stopped.
Wow. But those were some good shows. I was there for some of his early work. And
it was good. See, by then, back then, he was just kind of giving people paper cuts with the cards and stuff.
Yeah.
And just punching them in the temple.
Picking their noses.
Yeah.
Like, look what I got. And he'd pull out a coin.
Right.
But yeah, it was already up there.
Right. He had jammed it up there five minutes before.
Kind of gross. Nobody wants to feel it.
Right. Yeah. So, you know, that's what a man gets for stepping up his act creatively, I guess.
Seen some very, very early footage of his appearances where he'd actually, you know, he would pull something magic from somebody's nose and actually would be a nose hair. I couldn't really understand why
people
weren't
so mystified by that.
Yeah.
That was cool.
So he'd get angry at their lack of mystification and then punch them in the temple.
Telly Savalas was a huge fan, though. Telly Savalas could never understand how you got that nose hair out of the nose.
I don't know. Well, I never put two and two together, and I think that's really what he preys on, this mm-hmm. David Blaine guy.
Yeah.
It's people just not thinking, you know?
Don't let him prey on you.
How did he get my spleen out of my body? Oh, I see. It's through the gaping womb that he punched.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they don't put two and two together. They just assume, oh my gosh. Well, honey, you know, give this man a 20.
The spectacle of it. Like, because you kind of suspend disbelief when he's holding your bloody organ in front of your own face. Sort of smacking you in the cheek with it a little bit. You're like,
you really have no choice but to suspend disbelief at that point.
It's like, I'm in. Okay. Look at that. Oh. And then you pass out. But, you know.
Later, hours later in the hospital, when you've been, you know, sewed back up. You're telling people at the office, you know,
you gotta
it's
go
a story,
see
it's a keeper, really.
Mm-hmm. You gotta see this. Let me tell you what happened to me this weekend.
I was just thinking about that because he's appearing during the Super Bowl, like the halftime show or something.
Mm-hmm.
I was speculating what he's gonna do to all during the Super Bowl. Like with a, you know, an audience, like virtually all of America at least watching, you know, and a captive audience of, you know, hundred, you know, like 50,000 or something.
Mm-hmm.
So we should all be frightened, you know? Screw Y2K.
Yes.
This guy's going to bring the house down.
Yeah. Well, I think he's got three of the Dallas Cowboys cheerleaders going to be out there, a blowtorch, a pair of pliers, and jar of mayonnaise, I think.
That's all he's released to the press right now.
Yeah.
That's kind of scary.
I'm tense.
I'm going to watch the Food Channel during the Super Bowl, man.
It won't even matter, man, because we're all going to die.
Yeah. I guess. Yeah, so that's a public service announcement. Kind of like a, you know, a Crime Stopper sort of thing, but except From What Jail Is Like. So since it's From What Jail Is Like and not the Crime Stoppers organization, it doesn't necessarily involve black people.
Yeah.
Because that's the only crime that Crime Stoppers targets. Don't let yourself be preyed on by evil magicians. If you see an evil magician, signs of an evil magician, they got those, you know, twirly mustaches.
And they're always twirling them, waxing them.
Yeah, they've got those big top hats, and they got spirals on the hats.
Just ringing in their hands.
Cackling.
Yes. Don't let those people prey on you. Yes. There's nothing funny about stealing other people's hearts.
Unless you're a Casanova like Eric Ramson.
Yeah. Well, you know.
In which case, by all means, steal
away.
You
can't help it, baby.
I don't know if I got down to this, but it actually is Eric's birthday. Eric has been carousing since, his last birthday, and it's finally taken its toll, so Eric doesn't need to take a day off.
364-day bender.
Oh, my gosh. Was it ever.
With the pry the broken booze bottle out of his hand.
Yes. So he's recovering today. If you want to send him a birthday greeting, go ahead and do so. whatjailislike@hotmail.com. And
we just give him Eric's phone number?
No. No, you are creepy. Evil magicians.
But from the bottom of our throbbing hearts, happy birthday to you, Eric Ramson.
Yes. Yeah.
We hope you're having a good time now, and I'm speculating that he is.
He's having,
That's my guess. I'm going to go out on a limb.
Mm-hmm.
So despite his illness, whatever illness he might have, he's enjoying himself right now.
Hopefully.
I heard he's dying, but he's going to, you know, he's going to make it out to dinner.
Well, he's a fighter.
Hopefully he'll knock off that bender by April.
Yeah.
Okay, we'd like to have him back.
Yeah.
He's got to plan my surprise party.
So New Year's was good for you.
Good for me, yes.
Yeah, you know, champagne is stupid. It's a really dumb tradition.
You mean the drink or the town?
The drink.
Yeah, well, exactly. You know. No, the town's brilliant. I don't think we need to massage the town to go anymore.
Masterpiece of human civilization.
Yes. We've only got a few towns left in this show. We got to be careful.
Yeah.
But the drink is just such a dumb tradition. And not me personally, but it gives people such like horrible headache hangovers, and nobody really enjoys it, and they only break it out for like out of... like they feel like they have to for traditions like this. Mm-hmm.
You know what I dig about champagne though is the cork and the whole opening process. That's all you.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they could put grape juice in there or whatever.
It's really what it is. It's a whole like overflowing bottle celebration kind of thing.
Yeah. Actually, when I was a child, we did have that around as grape juice champagne.
Mm-hmm. Right, so I get here, honey.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's why I only have one eye now.
But it was a good time. You know, we watched the countdown, and then nothing really happened.
Yeah, we. Mm-hmm. I mean, the world ended at my house, but. We put it back together, and then
you guys are pretty wily.
We took out a couple windows, but we had like 5 champagne bottles going. There were, you know, 6 people there, so we had to pop them all at like 2 to midnight. And there was ricocheting corks and there were shattered windows. And well, Mark lost his other eye, but we put that one back in because we're all about reconstruction for the new year.
Oh yeah, that's kind
of so. We got up in the morning, ate breakfast, and I had my first eggs of the millennium.
First eggs of the millennium,
which were delicious.
I am all about really dumb hallmarks for the new millennium. You know, that seems to be what you know the media is all about at this moment. You know, the first new album by a person with a long nose of the millennium.
First for this 1,000 years.
So I'm all about that. First eggs of the millennium. All right.
They were delectable. Didn't taste any different.
Mm-hmm.
The first Denny's employee of the millennium was came about 2 o'clock on New Year's Day.
Mm-hmm. And he actually reappeared with our food around 3:30 on New Year's Day.
Yeah, that was my first starvation of the millennium.
Mm-hmm. So I'm thinking that you know the chickens of the millennium need to step it up a notch and get my eggs tasting like chocolate.
Sure.
Yeah, because it's the new millennium. Like
reinvent
cappuccino, you know. Or something.
Yeah, I was kind of
preference.
It's kind of disappointed. My first mistaken order of the millennium happened at Denny's, where you know I ordered some mashed potatoes without gravy, and I was given mashed potatoes with gravy. So I had to clarify the order, get my mashed potatoes without gravy. It's kind of disappointed. I mean, that's really kind of an old millennium sort of way of messing up an order.
Definitely.
You know, I would like to see a pygmy. Like head upside down in my mashed potatoes, and then I have to clarify the order. No, I didn't order mashed potatoes.
Or like you order mashed potatoes without gravy, and you get a fully functioning robot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I have to say, no, actually, I wanted you know mashed potatoes, please, not a fully functioning robot. And he brings that back,
and the robot just wheels away. Darn it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Or there's gravy on my fully functioning robot.
Because in the Millennium Robot says feelings too.
Yes.
Yep.
That's so
hurting
them
is definitely
the mistake prompted Mark's first verbal abuse of the new millennium, which was in keeping with our new you know technological century.
Which of course led to Mark's first indictment of the millennium.
Mm-hmm.
Hours later.
Yes.
And Mr. Denny's employees first breaking down in sobs in the middle of the kitchen of the millennium.
Well, I thought it pretty clearly said no gravy.
And then, of course, we commemorated Mark's first shiving of an inmate of the millennium.
Yes, I feel
it's
very
important. A few hours later after incarceration.
In the new millennium, to reestablish that respect that you have with the rest of the inmate community. You know, just kind of reassert yourself as a major figure in the penal community.
Yeah.
And ironically enough, sitting in the chair, requesting his last meal, Mark again got mashed potatoes with gravy on it by accident.
Right. Mm-hmm. When what I really asked for was a fully functioning robot.
So that's where the comedy
and he realized,
came
you know,
to grinding home.
Shiv all you want. It's not always going to change.
Real freaking pain. So, update on a very important story in the news that actually neither of you were here last week when we dealt with this in depth. So I'll try to bring you up to speed. The boat boy. The boat boy in Cuba. Have you heard about the boat boy? The little boat boy, that lovely boat human being that, you know, he was floating in between Cuba and America. America's got him. Cuba wants him back. America's not sure what to do. America's all torn up inside. Well, they're still torn up inside about the boat boy.
Actually, U.S. passed a new law. They said anything that touches American soil from now on is now their property.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Making a lot of tourists that came here for vacation very perplexed.
The whole shipping industry is kind of up in arms about that because all their boats and stuff are, we got them.
We got them. When we threw all these tourists in jail and said, ha ha, you're ours, and locked them up there.
It's really kind of frustrating, though, because we're stuck with Elton John because Elton John happened to be in the country at the
time. That's true. I mean, and it's definitely not a perfect kind of law to pass. But
and we can try to put them to work, you know, picking grapes, but...
So now basically everything we import, you know, is just basically out of trying to trick people, trick other countries into sending stuff over here.
It's cheaper. They lowered tariffs.
Mm-hmm.
But
I'm such a big fan of the Boat Boy. He's really, you know, just another example of stepping up for the new millennium. I mean, old millennium, what do we got? We got, you know, people falling down wells or some, you know, crap like that. You know, that's kind of old. They're down in the ground. Whoopee, you know, get them out. We got a Boat Boy for the new millennium. All respect to the Boat Boy.
Seriously. Mad props.
What a fighter, too, man.
Yeah.
He's been out there protesting, marching daily.
Mm-hmm.
Or was he just going to school in, like, first grade?
I don't know. I'd like to see him encased in bronze and put in a statue.
What I really do think is funny, it's just a really ostentatious display that America and Americans put on for, like, the media when, you know, when they're filming photos of the Boat Boy adjusting to his new life in America. You know, we have, like... 6 Santa Clauses and suits and like 8 Easter bunnies and like 14 parents, you know.
And
like,
he's in a Walmart parking lot.
Well, you know, he's got like teeming of with young children his own age and piles of toys as though any kid in America has this kind of lifestyle.
Yeah.
But like, look at America. We have 15, every child gets 15 Santa Clauses.
Hey, what if we...
that grant wishes. And free, you know, it's like...
What if we took a raft to like, I don't know, Belize or something? You think they treat us real good there?
I think so. I think we would be, because they're a huge fan of Americans right now.
I know, they love us. Like, oh, God.
I love it, though. Your very own Easter Bunny.
I would love to become embroiled in that imbroglio. You like that? You like that?
No, I loved it. Yeah. There's no like about it.
Give it up for the new alliteration.
That's the first use of imbroglio in the millennium.
Yeah, that's definitely my first use. One of those freaking words.
This is the first time this millennium that I've worn the same pair of pants, which have fleece lining, for 6 days in a row.
Cool.
I got pants with
fleece lining. He's not even lying.
Woo!
And the red.
Fuzzy.
He's L.L. Bean.
I'm getting all. Ooh, they're from the Gap.
The Gap.
I got a Christmas present.
Well, I got to go and sell out on me, Pete.
I'm a sellout, dude. No more thrift stores for me. I'm going name brand.
I thought you were hardcore, man.
Yeah, haven't you heard that the Gap employs sweaters to do their work?
Pete likes the guys that wear the Abercrombie & Fitch. Chinese food makes him sick. It's an LFO song, man. You should know. You big sellout.
Okay. Boat Boy. How about the Boat?
How about the Boat Boy?
They're never going to let me on the air again. I don't know.
Let's take off to a song right about now, because it's getting too right about that time. But what do we got coming up after this break?
You know, I'm not even going to tell you. It's not like you've been, you know, it's not like you deserve it. It's not like you need to know. It's not like the information is going to change your life drastically. So forget it, man. You're just going to have to stay tuned to find out. I'm not going to tell you.
Basically, what I think he's saying is give us a call, 359-9338. I think there are a lot of people out there who are stressing over the holidays, stressing over like the last month, month and a half. You know, we had done advice segments all that time while Matt wasn't here. But I think a lot of people were probably reluctant to call, thinking, you know, okay, fine, I can get Mark's perspective, I can get Eric's perspective. But where's the low end in all this? You know, they figured, you know, they want to hear from the low end when they're dealing with their holiday stress, their related problems. And we got the low end in the house right about now.
They certainly do.
They want the ire, the hard-nosed criticism.
They do.
The real shape-up-your-life mentality
of Matt. So, if you got a problem, please give us a call, 359-9338, for a little bit of advice that we're going to dispense right after this musical break.